So we're going to look at a couple of verses in Lamentations. But I also want, as we should always do when we're looking at any part of God's word, to see Jesus written in it. So although, you know, his account of his life is firmly in the New Testament, he's very much in the Old Testament if we look for him and allow the Spirit to reveal him. He's right there at the beginning of Genesis and all the way through. So I want to look at this. And it's wonderful this morning that we've been worshipping. My first slide, and there are only a few slides this morning. My first slide are not words that we've sung this morning, but words, you know, if you've been around Christian worship for any length of time, especially in the more established churches, you will have sung these words. They'll be familiar to you. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh God. Did you? What lovely words. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions. They fail not, as thou hast been forever thou wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. And Debbie spoke these words at this point, just in conversation, she spoke these words morning by morning. New mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And they were written by this guy, Thomas Chisholm, in 1923, an American. And he wrote over 1,000 poems, sacred poems, if you like. And this one was turned into a hymn, as many of his poems were. But this guy was nothing particularly special, as far as the world was concerned. He lived a fairly humble life, much like you and me. You know, he was a teacher for a short while. He spent most of his life working in insurance. He didn't have a job of high status. He was briefly a minister, but had to give it up because of ill health. But if you Google him, look him up, you'll find his wonderful words. And it's, in essence, it's those words that we're really familiar with. You may never have read Lamentations. You may never have read the words we're gonna look at today. But you will have heard them and you will have sung them out, because these are the words we're going to look at from Lamentation. Because of the Lord's great love, we were not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And Thomas Chisholm took those words and created that poem, which was later turned into the hymn that we're really familiar with. So let's begin to have a look. You know, back in the summer, we spent a lot of time. We spent 2 weeks looking at some of this. So I'm not going to spend a whole heap of time. So that first phrase, because of the Lord's great love. And there it is, chesed, the Hebrew word for love. And I know in the Western world, we have a tendency to pigeonhole love in a particular way, but in the Hebrew, it's there's so much in those five letters or three letters if you're writing in the Hebrew script. It can mean love, but mercy and loving kindness and steadfastness and loyalty. You know, we see here that loving kindness, it's such a comprehensive, all-encompassing term. It's got that bit of love and grace and mercy and goodness and forgiveness and truth and compassion and faithfulness. So when we see that simple phrase, because of the Lord's great love, it's encompassing all of that and more. Not just the simple way that we sometimes read love as being that soppy, romantic love. It's so much more. And when this was written in Hebrew, we're reading in English there, it was a plural word. One of my favorite Bible apps is this. It's Parallel Plus, and you can choose which versions of the Bible you have. You know, you can have just two, but you can have five, and there are endless translations you can put, which is a good way of reading the different verses. But it also displays, we're in the Old Testament, so it displays that Hebrew. If you're in the New Testament, it'll display the Greek. And over here, we can see a version of Hesed. And if I just change that. So here, in this left-hand column, are the different ways in which that simple word is used throughout the Bible. And as we scroll down, we come to this version here, which immediately says, it's in plural. This version of love is plural. And here it is, Lamentations 3:22. His mercies, his love for us. It's plural. It's constantly being refreshed. It's not love just then. It's ongoing. That's a bit of a by the by. And of course, that greatest expression of God's love was sending his son, Jesus, for us. When we look at that, the Lord's great love, we don't just see God's love for us. We see Jesus' love for us. And his love act, if you like, of allowing himself to go to the cross, to die for us, for our sins. Great love. So the next bit of verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. You know, we are not set aside, lost, destroyed, however you want to read that. Somebody's got a King James version of the passage in Hebrews. Just want to read it out. God is saying to us, Don't let our eyes, our hearts be drawn to the ways of the world. Be content with where you are. I will never leave you. You'll not be consumed. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We can take our eyes off him and put it on something else. We can yearn after something else, desire something else, things of the world. But, you know, the way as you read scripture, as you journey from Adam and Eve, who turned away, yearned to taste that apple, and you see all the different episodes where the Israelites turned away from God, but God did not forsake them, did not leave them, called them back time after time because of his great love for them, his great love for us. Somebody's got the verse in Micah.
He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea.
See, he will again have compassion. One of the elements of his great love is his compassion for us. But when we get things wrong, God just tramples them down. Doesn't leave us dwelling in those things. He casts our sins into the depths of the sea. Not literally. It's a figurative statement. He casts our sins out of his sight. It's no longer remembered. We're not consumed by our sins if we confess them and seek his forgiveness because of his great love. Zephaniah, who's got Zephaniah? Isn't that just a wonderful picture? That the Father rejoices over us with singing. You know, much like a mother or father with their tiny child who loves to sing over them. We've got our grandchildren staying with us at the moment. You know, just listening to their father or mother interacting with them, and just at when they're troubled about something, distressed about something, just taking them in their arms and just gently singing a song that they become familiar with to them, soothing them and comforting. This verse speaks of something similar. God so loves us. Yes, he's a mighty warrior who saves, but he'll take great delight in you. His love will no longer rebuke you, no longer consume you. He will rejoice over us with singing. Probably the verse that we're most familiar with. Who's got John 3? You know, sometimes we read John 3:16 without 17. You know, 16 and 17 go together, hand in hand. And we could do a talk on those two verses alone. But you will experience everlasting life, the complete opposite of being consumed, destroyed, set aside. because of his love. We won't be judged and condemned, but rescued by Christ. Rescued by Christ. Not consumed, rescued. Because God so loved the world. You, me, and the whole of mankind. God so loved the world. In all those different ways that we looked on the previous slides, God so loved the world so that we could have everlasting life, be saved and rescued, not consumed, not destroyed. You know, it was his son who came, his sacrifice on the cross, his burial and resurrection. You know, when we celebrate communion, we're celebrating that great love that God has for us, that through his son, we are part of his eternal family. So then we come to the end of 22 and the beginning of 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we were not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And then we've got a sense of plurality again, where it's compassions and this newness, it comes through as it did on the earlier slide. New every morning. Who's got Psalm 78? Such a compassionate God. Those words that Helen spoke, so full of compassion, he forgave them. Jesus is so full of compassion, he will forgive us. Our sins are set aside, covered over, because of his compassion. We're not consumed by those sins if we confess them and seek his forgiveness. Anger and wrath will not come our way, because the Father desires to be merciful because of his great love. Who's got Psalm 130? And don't we need that abundant redemption? You know, because we time and time get it wrong. We do drift away. Just like the characters we read in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, it's no different today. We get it wrong. We have to come back to God. And because of his loving kindness, we can receive the hope that is in him and his abundant redemption. And because there is so much power in the cross, in the name of Jesus. You know, if he'd been the same as those other chaps who were on the crosses beside him, we wouldn't be here this morning. But because he is the Son of God. And because there is power in his name, there is power in his words, there is power in his actions, then that redemptive power can come to us each and every day. It never fails. And so this verse ends. Great is your faithfulness. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They knew every morning, great is your faithfulness. Great is his love, great is his faithfulness. Who's got Deuteronomy?
Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments.
So there's his promises that are writ large in the Bible, in his word, and we can read them and we can declare them over ourselves and our friends and our family, over our church. His mercy is there for all time, 1,000 generations. Just again, it's just figurative language. It's not talking about literally 1,000 generations, but it's for all time. He can't change that aspect of his character. He will always be merciful, always be loving, always be faithful. And then you get that bit of condition at the end. For those who love him and keep his commandments. So we can be assured of his mercy, of his faithfulness, of his love, as long as we're loving him and not loving something else that's definitely not of him. If we're keeping his promises, his commandments, his laws, instead of keeping things that are not of God close to our hearts. Who's got Psalm 36? This just gives us a picture of God's love. We know we often use similar words ourselves. God's love knows no bounds. It's wider than we can imagine, higher than we can imagine, deeper than we can possibly imagine. And this verse tries to put that into words too. Not just his love, but his faithfulness. I love those words. Your great faithfulness is infinite, stretching over the whole earth. It encompasses everything and everybody. Great is your faithfulness. 1 Corinthians, who's got that? His faithfulness is not without purpose. Yes, he's forever faithful. But His faithfulness called us out, drew us to recognize His Son, our Lord Jesus, the Anointed. And then finally, 1 Peter.
Who's
See, God is not promising that our lives as Christians on this earth will be untroubled, will not be difficult, we will not face challenging times. That, you know, I look around the room and I see people who are troubled physically, emotionally, with their jobs, with relationships, etc., with their finances. But if we're following God's will, then our God will never, never fail us. He will do right by us. When the time comes for no longer to walk on this earth, we will be walking with Him and Jesus and all the other saints because of His great love. We'll be walking with Him because we're not consumed. We'll be walking with Him because His compassions, His mercies never fail. We'll be walking with Him because He is faithful. He can't do anything other than be faithful. And Jesus was a great example of that. He was faithful on the cross and beyond. He was always, always, but always faithful to what His Father was saying He should do. He may not have wanted as a human, if you like, as flesh, to go to the cross and be crucified, but He was faithful to the Father and did that. And that's all He asks. That's all the Father asks of us, to be faithful to Him and His name and His word, His commandments. And He will be faithful to us, to love Him in the same way He loves us. And He will be with us through all those challenges that we have, renewing us, refreshing us every single day, pouring out His love into us every single day. This is a bit out of kilter, I appreciate this, but I'd like to sing those words we've just read. You can stand, you can let this wash over you if that's what you want to do at the moment, or you can worship and praise and sing these from the heart in response to His love, His faithfulness. Let's declare our faithfulness for Him, our love for Him.